Hi everyone, this is James and Dan. We are two-fourths of the hit UK podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
That's right, every week we sit down behind some microphones and share with each other the best things we've found out over the last 7 days.
Yes, so for instance, Dan, did you know that you cannot tie a knot in four dimensions?
I knew that's where I was going wrong. Interesting.
There are all sorts of reasons why, but we would go into them all on our podcast, along with loads of extra facts as well.
That's right. And if you want to check it out, No Such Thing as a Fish is available wherever you get your podcasts.
This happened when I was about 14. I had just started babysitting for this family in my neighborhood. They had two kids, a boy who was 10 at the time, and a girl who at the time was 8. They were great kids to babysit. They got along with each other without fighting, and always did what I asked of them without complaining. Before I launch into what happened, I'm going to give you all some background information about this family's house so you can understand why I was so freaked out. The house is situated pretty far back in my neighborhood on this little side street off of the main road that runs through the neighborhood. The house is in a cul-de-sac, so there's not a lot of traffic on this road at all. Usually, the only people that ever come into the cul-de-sac are the mailman and people who lived in the other three houses that were in the cul-de-sac. The street itself was not very long at all, so there were only three houses on each side of the street that weren't in the cul-de-sac. Essentially, despite being in a large neighborhood, the street that this house was situated on was very quiet, and if you didn't live in the neighborhood, you might not know that this street existed. It was a fall Friday night. I'm pretty sure it was late November, right after Thanksgiving, and I had arrived at the house around 6 p.m. The kids were already sitting down eating dinner when I got there, and the parents told me that they expected to be home around midnight or so. The parents also made a joke about how the kids had the whole street to themselves, since the other families that lived there were out of town for Thanksgiving. The parents left, the kids finished eating, and we went outside to play in the cul-de-sac. I remember locking the front door and taking the house key outside with me. The kids rode around on their scooters for about an hour.
Hi everyone, this is James and Dan. We are two-fourths of the hit UK podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
That's right, every week we sit down behind some microphones and share with each other the best things we've found out over the last 7 days.
Yes, so for instance, Dan, did you know that you cannot tie a knot in four dimensions?
I knew that's where I was going wrong. Interesting.
There are all sorts of reasons why, but we would go into them all on our podcast, along with loads of extra facts as well.
That's right. And if you want to check it out, No Such Thing as a Fish is available wherever you get your podcasts.
For some reason, I just felt really on edge while the kids were playing outside. I chalked this feeling up to knowing that we were alone on the street since everyone else was out of town. After the kids finished playing outside, we went inside to play Wii in the basement. I remember locking the front door once we were back inside and putting the key on the kitchen counter. I then checked the front door before I went downstairs to the basement. I was super vigilant about checking the doors because I had watched so many scary movies where the babysitter forgets to lock the door and then some crazy murderer gets into the house, blah blah blah. As the kids are playing in the basement, I get that unsettling feeling again. I didn't feel like we were being watched. It was more like when you know that something is going to pop out in a scary movie and you're just anticipating it on the edge of your seat, with tension at its highest. The feeling sticks with me the entire time that we're in the basement, but again, I chalk it up to the knowing that the entire street is empty. The clock strikes 10 and it's time for the kids to head to bed. We go to the top floor of the house where the kids' bedrooms are. The house is set up so that when you open the front door of the house and come inside, you're standing in the foyer with the steps to go to the top floor directly in front of you. If you're standing in the foyer, you can see all the way up the stairs into the bathroom and on the top floor. So the kids are in the bathroom brushing their teeth, and we all hear a car pull into their driveway. I figured that it's their parents coming home super early, and I expect to hear the garage door start opening, but that sound never comes. I walk into the girl's bedroom and look out her front window. There's a car running in the driveway, and there's a man in the car, but the headlights are turned off despite it being 10 p.m. and it's pitch black dark outside. I figured it was someone who just got lost in our neighborhood and was just using the driveway to stop and get their bearings before heading back out on the road. I leave the girl's bedroom and head back to the bathroom where the kids are. Suddenly, I hear a knock on the front door. I turn around and there's a man standing at their door holding a pizza box. There are two long windows on either side of their front door, so I have a clear view of this guy, and I know that he has a clear view of us. I immediately get that eerie feeling that I had been feeling all night. I ask both of the kids if they ordered a pizza for some reason, and they both said no. These kids were always very honest and wouldn't lie about something like that, or even order a pizza without asking me, so I knew they were being truthful. Normally I would have gone downstairs to see what this guy wanted. Maybe he had the wrong house and I could point him in the right direction, but that little voice in my head was screaming, "Don't go downstairs. Do not open that door." The guy also looked like he didn't work for any pizza company. Normally they would be wearing a uniform or a hat with the company's logo on it, or something. This guy just seemed off. He looked like he was in his late 30s, maybe early 40s, and looked super disheveled. His shirt was really wrinkled. His pants were filthy and ripped, and he had this ratty black baseball cap that was pulled down super far so that his eyes were covered. He was also grinning really aggressively, like I thought this guy's teeth would just shatter because of how hard he was pressing them together. At this point, the kids notice him and start asking why he's here. Should we open the door, etc., etc. I tell them no, and ask that they just go to their rooms and lie down. The boy goes to his room, and I walk the girl into her room and look out the window at the car again. I notice that the car doesn't have one of those pizza delivery car signs on the top, which all of the pizza companies in my town require delivery drivers to have. So now I feel really confident in my initial intuition that this guy isn't a legit pizza delivery guy. The girl gets in bed, and I come back out of her room and sit down at the top of the stairs so that I can keep an eye on this guy. I tried to stay really calm so as not to upset the kids, even though I was flipping out on the inside. He's still standing at the door holding the pizza box in one hand, and he's still grinning that teeth-shattering grin. His mouth was almost too big for his face, I thought. Even though I can't see his eyes because of the hat, I know that he's dead-ass staring at me. Then, without breaking eye contact, he starts jiggling the door handle pretty aggressively while still grinning. I silently thank God that I was so psychotic about making sure the front door was locked. He stops jiggling the handle and resumes staring at me. If I was in the situation now, I probably would have called the police immediately, but being only 14 and fairly new to babysitting, I was paralyzed with fear. I felt like if I took my eyes off of him for a second, when I look back, he would be standing at the base of the stairs.
Hi everyone, this is James and Dan. We are two-fourths of the hit UK podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
That's right. Every week we sit down behind some microphones and share with each other the best things we've found out over the last 7 days.
Yes, so for instance, Dan, did you know that you cannot tie a knot in four dimensions?
I knew that's where I was going wrong. Interesting.
There are all sorts of reasons why, but we would go into them all on our podcast, along with loads of extra facts as well.
That's right. And if you want to check it out, No Such Thing as a Fish is available wherever you get your podcasts.
After about another 5 minutes of the stare down, he literally starts walking backwards off of the porch without breaking eye contact. Legit, this dude is walking backwards towards his car while still staring at me. I go into the parents' bedroom, which also has a view of the driveway, kneel down in front of the window, and peek out. I'm expecting to see this guy getting into his car. Nope. The guy is nowhere in sight, but the car is still there. So I return to my perch at the top of the stairs, half expecting to see him at the door again, or worse, standing at the bottom of the stairs. But he was nowhere to be seen. After about 20 minutes, I hear a car starting. I run back to the parents' room, kneel in front of the window again, and notice that the car in the driveway has started, and the guy is sitting in the driver's seat, still fucking grinning. He also doesn't turn the headlights on. He shifts into reverse and begins slowly backing out of the driveway, grinning the entire time. Right before he drives off, he turns his head, and I swear to God, makes direct eye contact with me again. And again, I can't see his eyes because of the hat, but I know that he was looking directly at me. This is really disturbing to me since he didn't really know where I was in the house. The parents' bedroom is in the farthest window to the right if you're looking at the house from outside. The lights in the parents' bedroom are off, and I'm kneeling down. So really, the only part of me that might potentially be visible is the top of my head, my eyes, and my nose. But it's also pitch black outside. He doesn't have his headlights on, and it's pitch black in the parents' bedroom, so I doubt that I was really visible. He also didn't spend time scanning the windows. His head literally just snapped to where I was. It was like he could sense that I was looking at him. After I had time to calm down and collect myself, I started replaying what had just happened and came to the following conclusions. This guy was not a pizza delivery guy. He had no uniform, looked and acted like he was possessed or something, and his car was unmarked. Those 20 minutes or so that elapsed between when he walked backwards off of the porch to when he got into the car were probably spent walking around the house and checking all of the doors, trying to gain entry. He had malicious intent. Maybe he wanted to rob the house. Maybe he wanted to do something more sinister to me or the kids. Either way, this guy was bad news, and I'm glad I trusted the voice in my head. I think he probably found some pizza box and tried to pose as a pizza delivery guy to get me to open the door for him so that he could strike. There are still some parts of the story that are confusing me. If he really wanted to get inside the house, why didn't he find a rock, a brick, or something else to throw through the window? I mean, I'm very glad that he didn't, but I just thought it was a bit odd that he checked the doorknobs and then gave up after he discovered that they were all locked. Maybe he felt like doing something that made a lot of noise that would alert me, and so he could try to sneak in a more subtle way to catch me off guard. Why did he walk backwards off the porch? Was it just to preserve eye contact and thus intimidate me? Or was this dude just insane? Why did I feel so unsettled early on in the evening before this guy even showed up? Was he watching the house and waiting for the kids to go to bed and for me to be off guard before trying to get into the house? How did he know where to look when he was backing out of the driveway? Why was he grinning the entire time? Did he know that our house was the only house on the street that was inhabited at that time? Why did he pick that house, especially given the fact that it's on a very quiet and secluded street and you have to drive pretty far to the back of the neighborhood to even reach the street? He could have picked the 50 or other so houses that you have to pass to even get to that house. The town where I live is upper middle class and has a super low crime rate, and drugs aren't really an issue. We're also surrounded by other similar upper middle class areas, so I'm doubtful that this person was on drugs or some crazy vagrant. Of course, I could be wrong.
Hi everyone, this is James and Dan. We are two-fourths of the hit UK podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
That's right. Every week we sit down behind some microphones and share with each other the best things we've found out over the last 7 days.
Yes. So for instance, Dan, did you know that you cannot tie a knot in four dimensions?
I knew that's where I was going wrong. Interesting.
There are all sorts of reasons why, but we would go into them all on our podcast, along with loads of extra facts as well.
That's right. And if you want to check it out, No Such Thing as a Fish is available wherever you get your podcasts.
Maybe this dude was just jacked up on drugs. Maybe he was just a vagrant dude. Maybe he really was just a lost pizza delivery man with some unsettling personal quirks. But I'm really doubtful. I attend a college that is located in one of the poorest cities in Northern California. The campus is relatively safe since the school employs its own Department of Public Safety, but after the sun sets, it's usually a good call to remain indoors because that's when the townies come out and they tend to wander into campus. About 2 years ago, I was living in an apartment complex in the main part of campus and I still didn't have a car yet. It was the end of the fall semester and I was the last person in my apartment of three girls to finish taking finals, so I was home alone since my roommates had already gone home for winter break. I got back from taking my last exam and followed my usual routine of dejectedly collapsing into bed to cry and sleep off the effects of pulling an all-nighter. When I finally woke up, it was already past 10 p.m. and I was starving. Unfortunately, the student grocery store and cafeteria were closed for the day, and I had nothing in the apartment to eat and no car to get food elsewhere. I was woefully poking around the fridge in the hopes that I would find something substantial to tide me over until morning, when I noticed a Domino's coupon that someone had stuck to the freezer. My stomach's pathetic cries for sustenance had been answered. I quickly decided that there was no shame in ordering a whole pizza plus cinna sticks for myself because, one, I was ravenous, and two, the completion of finals demanded some sort of celebration, and three, if anyone happened to ask, I was going to lie and say I was sharing it with a friend or something along those lines. Anyway, I eagerly ordered and provided the cashier with my address, apartment, and cell number. I typically never give out my number to anyone, but I had ordered delivery from Domino's in the past, and I knew that they needed my number to call me once more when they were outside because the drivers always got lost navigating through campus. About 20 minutes later, I got the call. My food was here. For reference, it's now close to midnight and the campus was pretty much dead since most students had gone home. The driver told me that he had parked in front of a dorm building that was right across the street from my apartment. I hustled out of my apartment and was going down the stairs when I spotted the delivery guy waiting outside of his car with my pizza. At this point, my sense of caution kicked in and I slowed my pace as my brain took in the fact that there were no other students out, the lighting was bad, and I was essentially walking up to a stranger in his car that still had his engine running. As I neared the bottom of the steps, I silently hoped that he would cross the street and approach me so that I wouldn't have to get near the car. Of course, that didn't happen. I made my way across the street and was finally able to get a good look at him. He was a relatively short Hispanic guy, maybe 5'7 to 5'9, in his early 20s, and my nerves were getting bombarded by the creeper vibes he was giving off. I can only compare it to the vibe that you get when you're out clubbing and you suddenly spot the guy lurking in the crowd sporting the slicked back ponytail, sunglasses, oversized shirt, and sagged pants combo who just so happens to be headed in your direction. I did my best to appear calm and keep the mood light and friendly. He made some comments about how late it was and how no one was around, but I just signed the receipt as quickly as possible, gave him my thanks and an awkward smile, and hightailed it out of there as soon as he handed me my food. I could feel him watching me as I climbed the stairs back to my place. Once I got back into my apartment, I locked and chained up the door and sat down on the living room couch to calm myself. After a few moments, I shrugged off the situation and reasoned that it was just my paranoia and overactive imagination acting up again. I had just turned on the television and was about to take my first bite of pizza when I got a text from an unknown number. It read, "You're hella sexy." I connected the dots and matched the text number to the call I had received earlier from the pizza delivery guy. My initial reaction, of course, was shock since nothing like this has ever happened to me before, but that eventually melted away into laughter and disbelief when I considered my appearance at the time. Like I had mentioned earlier, I had just woken up from my nap after taking my last final. I was wearing a pair of raggedy sweatpants and loose sweatshirt, and my hair was nappy and tied into a messy ponytail. My face was probably greasier than the pizza I was eating, and to top it off, I had my glasses on. Definitely not a pretty picture, much less anything that could even come close to resembling hella sexy. The next morning, I got a call from my boyfriend John, and I casually told him about the pizza delivery driver, who casually signed his name in the text as Fildo, and the events that had transpired the previous evening. After sheepishly trying to defend my actions on the basis of poor judgment caused by extreme hunger and promising never to do that type of thing again, John convinced me that I should report it to the campus police as a precautionary measure. I gave them a call, and an officer stopped by my apartment a few hours later. I relayed my story, he took some pictures of the text message, and he wrote down Fildo's phone number. The officer then told me that he would contact the Domino's if I wanted him to, but that it would most likely result in Fildo's termination. I was still relatively unfazed by the whole situation, and I told the officer I just wanted to make sure that this creep never did this to any other girls on campus, but at the same time, I didn't want him to lose his job.
Hi everyone, this is James and Dan. We are two-fourths of the hit UK podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
That's right. Every week we sit down behind some microphones and share with each other the best things we've found out over the last 7 days.
Yes, so for instance, Dan, did you know that you cannot tie a knot in four dimensions?
I knew that's where I was going wrong. Interesting.
There are all sorts of reasons why, but we would go into them all on our podcast, along with loads of extra facts as well.
That's right. And if you want to check it out, No Such Thing as a Fish is available wherever you get your podcasts.
The officer then started asking me questions about how I felt after my encounter. Questions along the lines of, do you feel threatened by Fildo? Do you feel safe in your apartment with the knowledge that Fildo has both your phone number and your exact address? If I wasn't scared before, I definitely was now, and during the course of my questioning, I had broken out in a cold sweat, and my traitorous imagination began conjuring up all sorts of dastardly situations that ended in my untimely demise. Obviously, I ended up giving the officer the go-ahead to pursue my case and contact the Dominoes. About a month later, while I was at home celebrating the holidays, I got a call from my boyfriend. I had left him the keys to my apartment so that he could store his bike there and crash in my room while I was away. He told me that he had stopped by my place, but that he couldn't get in because the keys weren't working. He also said that it looked like someone had broken in because there was some glass on the floor and a wooden board across my living room window. I was pretty upset because this was my first time hearing about it, so I called the school the next day to figure out what the hell had happened. Housing transferred my call to the public safety department, and the officer I spoke with was only able to tell me that, according to their records, a maintenance worker had called them 2 days after I had headed home to report my broken window. Public safety had responded by boarding up the window and changing the lock when they noticed it had been tampered with. I convinced the officer to let my boyfriend into the apartment so he could go check and see if anything was stolen, and thankfully, nothing was. My gut tells me that it was Fildo who did it. It was Fildo who tried to pick my lock and then broke my window. It scares me even more now when I consider the fact that nothing had been stolen. My flat-screen TV was right by the window that had been broken, and my boyfriend's fancy road bike was sitting right there in the living room. Why didn't he steal anything? Does that mean his intentions were to break in and get his revenge on me, the girl that had cost him his job? Would this still have happened if I had not given the officer permission to pursue the case? I try not to spend too much time speculating about what Fildo's true intentions were, but when I do, it still makes my heart race when I think about what could have happened if I'd still been in my apartment at the time.
Hi everyone, this is James and Dan. We are two-fourths of the hit UK podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
That's right. Every week we sit down behind some microphones and share with each other the best things we've found out over the last 7 days.
Yes, so for instance, Dan, did you know that you cannot tie a knot in four dimensions?
I knew that's where I was going wrong. Interesting.
There are all sorts of reasons why, but we would go into them all on our podcast, along with loads of extra facts as well.
That's right. And if you want to check it out, No Such Thing as a Fish is available wherever you get your podcasts.